You're listening to Privacy Files, the podcast that makes privacy approachable for businesses and consumers alike. This episode is brought to you by Anonymy Labs, makers of MySudo, the world's only all-in-one privacy app, and Sudo Platform, the cloud-based platform companies turn to for seamlessly integrating privacy solutions into their software. Welcome to episode number 38 of Privacy Files. I'm Rich.
And I'm Sarah.
In our last episode, we examined the privacy-invading activity of real-time bidding and how it exposes the average American's online activity and location 747 times every single day. Today, we're peering into the criminal world of call center-based tech support scams, a global industry that bleeds victims of $47 billion U.S. dollars every year, affecting 3 out of every 5 consumers. And helping us better understand this phenomenon is YouTuber Kit Boga. With over 3 million subscribers, Kit is one of the most well-known and entertaining scam baiters fighting back to protect the innocent. Kit, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, guys.
This could be really fun. I think your videos are so entertaining. My favorite is the older lady. That's the best character.
Edna. Actually, I found out this year that my great grandmother's name is Edna, and I had no idea. So
just intuitive. Just knew it.
Yes. I must have just known somehow.
I love that.
That's awesome. Well, Sarah, let's open up a case file on scam call centers. So, Kit, I guess you're kind of loosely classified as a scam baiter, kind of like the cybersecurity vigilante. Do you have a better way of describing what you do?
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes I like to say that I just explore the internet and I click on all the links you shouldn't click and call all the phone numbers that you shouldn't call. And whenever something seems too good to be true, I just assume it is true and kind of go along with it. But of course, I have a lot of safeguards in place, so I'll never actually lose money or get a virus or something.
You're essentially scamming. Right. You're scamming the scammer, kind of like you're turning the tables on them.
Yeah.
Vigilante.
That's another good way to say it.
Yeah. And I saw this one stat that I had, again, I have no idea about like the background of the whole scam baiter industry until I started looking into this, but they're estimating there's like 10,000 scam baiters in general out there, hackers, people are doing something to kind of fight back. Yeah. I thought
that was awesome.
That was crazy. So
yeah.
What do you typically try to accomplish when you're doing these scam baiting sessions? What are you thinking of when you go through this process?
So it has somewhat evolved over time as well. Initially, when I first started, I didn't really even know what scam baiting was. I learned about some Microsoft scam. I think it was the virus pop-up where you would get an alert on your computer. And I had never heard of it before. And as someone who spent all of my time on computers and the internet and was a software engineer, I'm like, if I don't know what this is, clearly, my grandmother wouldn't know what this is. If I've never heard of this, my parents have not heard of this. And that was sort of the spark of, oh, I wonder if I could do something. I wonder, how could I tell people about this scam? I remember I called that phone number. Like I saw this pop up and I called the number. And within 4 or 5 minutes, some guy wanted to connect to my computer because it had viruses. And I know I don't have viruses. This scam is... it's real. Like, I almost thought it was fake at first. You know, this can't be happening
fast.
To me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I hung up the phone because I didn't know what to do at that point. And I ran to my wife and told her all about, like, oh, there's these scammers out there. And I was... so in the beginning, the concept was if I could call them and I spent 10 minutes on the phone with them, that was 10 minutes they weren't talking to someone else. If I could spend an hour on the phone with them, that was an hour they weren't talking to someone's grandma. That was kind of my initial thought. And then as things grew and I learned more about the scams and figured out that if I talked like an old man, I could spend days with them on the phone. Then I learned, well, they're going to give me their bank account information and I can report that. Or we can find out a lot of intricate details about the way that their scam works. So now it's evolved more into like, yes, I want to waste their time and have fun, but we also can collect valuable information that can be reported to fraud professionals.
Oh, that's awesome.
So this started because one of your family members was scammed?
Well, my grandmother and grandfather both had forms of dementia and Alzheimer's. And I don't know if they were ever directly scammed by a tech support scammer, but I did watch them get taken advantage of and get scammed in all kinds of ways. So we were talking before we started recording about like car warranty scams and things like that. Those sorts of things were happening to my grandma in particular. I remember one day I went to visit her and she had, I think, three different internet and phone cable type packages, which you could say the salespeople just wanted to make some money, right? And whatever, she does have three different cable lines. So you could say she wasn't scammed, but at the same time, we're like, she doesn't need three different cable and phone and internet lines. And these people knew that, right? Or there was a lady who would come to her house, physically to her house, to clean her computer of the viruses every week. But my grandma didn't even know how to use her computer. And so it was those sorts of taking advantage of someone who wasn't maybe cognitively there as she once was. She had to rely on help. So for sure, if she would have gotten a call from a Microsoft tech support scammer, she would have assumed that they were Microsoft.
I feel like I think we're going to get into sort of them being targeted as that older generation. But my grandma is also the one that she writes checks to people that are like, oh, you can purchase this magazine or you're helping somebody here. And bless her heart, she's writing checks. Yeah. And I think we're like, grandma, we're going to have to take your checkbook away because yes, these are scams. Stop sending people money.
That is very similar to my grandma's story. And I think there is so much truth to that, for sure.
It's so unfortunate.
Yeah. Ken, I bet you didn't imagine in the beginning that this would turn into this. At what point did you kind of see like there was a kind of a tipping point and you went like, wow, there's something here?
I believe I'm going to mix this up because so much has happened over the, it's been like 6 years now, I think. I think probably one of the big moments was I don't have it here with me, but I can sort of play guitar. Oh, I do have it. But anyway, I won't play guitar right now. I can sort of play guitar. And one day I was talking to a scammer and I got them to sing the Boot Scoot Boogie, the country song. That clip went on Reddit and I didn't know that it was on Reddit. And at the time it was just me and a few friends watching my stream. The only reason I was streaming this live was because I kept talking about it to all my friends. And my friend said, well, can we see it? That's all I talked about. And so I was streaming for my friends to watch, not thinking I would be a streamer or a YouTuber or something.
It just took off and went viral.
Yeah. So the next, I think I would usually like once a week on like a Sunday night or something when I had free time, I would stream. And then that clip must have gotten all these views or whatever. So I went live for my friends and suddenly there was like 20 or 30 people there. That's actually why I wear the sunglasses. I went out into my car and I had aviator glasses because I'm like, I don't want people to know who I am. And I think those sorts of moments kept happening where I was just goofing around and exploring and then people could relate to it and people would learn about it.
I feel like it's something we've all wanted to do at some point. Like you get those calls and you just want to like bite back and say something, but the way you go about it is just hysterical. It's so witty.
Well, I grew up where if we would get telemarketing calls, my dad would just put it on speakerphone and like let all of my siblings and I, we would just like, so that might've been some of the connection or inspiration, but I think there was an other big moment too, where I would try to do some public service announcement type videos. I would get really serious on the stream and I'd say, guys, this is happening. There's scams everywhere, but no one would share that video. But then people shared the video of me singing Boot Scoot Boogie with a scammer.
And the there humor was this, took off.
Well, if I can have fun and goof around and make these scammers mad while I waste their time and thousands of people, at the time it wasn't millions, it was thousands of people could watch, that's thousands of people who might not get scammed. That was, I think, the big moment where I said, oh, maybe I could do something with this.
That's
maybe
a great way to bring awareness. Yeah.
And it's entertaining you too.
Yeah.
So interesting stats I found when I was doing a little research on the scam call centers. So they were saying that online scamming that accounts for over 50% of all financial cybercrime, robbing victims of $47 billion every year to India-based call center scams in 2022. So I guess out of your experience, it sounds like most of these scam call centers are probably based in India.
I think I could answer in sort of two ways. In one, sense, I think, yes, it does seem to be that there's a lot of infrastructure set up for call centers in places like India. I think you could even see a history of all kinds of companies doing outsourced call center work. And so it's much, much easier to set up a call center to handle tech support scams, whatever it is there. But I have also found, as I've done this, that at times there can be a really negative kind of dark light to, oh yeah, anyone who has that accent is a scammer. And yeah. And I try to stay away from that because I find all kinds of, there's all kinds of scammers all over the world. And so I usually focus on like, well, I'm just calling these numbers and whoever answers is a scammer because they're saying right. they're working for Microsoft. But yes, there certainly are some facts and statistics that would show quite a bit of infrastructure over there.
Yeah, I think one of the documentaries we were sort of watching before showed where they were saying where it's really tough because you can have one floor of a building that's legitimate tech support and then just like yeah. the floor above it yeah. is the scam center. So it's like you just really hope whoever you're being outsourced to for help is legitimate. You mm-hmm. just never know where it's getting routed to.
And it sounds like the call center tech support scam is the most common. And the one figure I found was astonishing that 3 out of 5 consumers worldwide at some point are impacted by a tech support scam. That's astounding.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. I'm familiar with some of the statistics, but I don't know if I caught that one. It kind of makes sense to me because I get so many emails and submissions from the community every day. It's like this endless stream of scams. But 3 out of 5 is, yeah, that's a lot of people.
That's crazy. So, yeah. Do you think in some of these places, like local law enforcement just doesn't do anything about it because maybe there's some corruption going on locally? I guess, do you ever try to shut down any of these call centers? Does it ever go that far where you're able to gather yeah. enough information and pass it on to somebody?
It's tricky. I've read some articles and talked to some people who describe it like, well, there's a lot going on. You're talking about multiple governments and countries and it's bureaucracy and right, all these different things at play. And you can imagine, well, we've got all kinds of stuff to deal with here in the United States. And so if some other country were to say to us, hey, a bunch of our consumers are getting scammed by people here in New York City or whatever it is, they're going to be like, yeah, I mean, that's a problem. But also, we've got a lot of stuff we're dealing with here in New York City, and that's going to take a back seat. And so I think in some respects, that can be what happens is I can report a bunch of stuff. We could say to the local law enforcement, there's some scammers here taking advantage of someone in the U.S., but they might want to prioritize the people committing crimes on their own soil first. That's one way to think about it.
Yeah.
The other thing is I haven't had a lot of experience myself, but when we do gather enough or what seems like enough information, it ends up being this nightmare of do I just call the local police and say, hi, I would like you to raid this call center, please. And it's obviously more complicated than that.
It sounds like in the one documentary we were looking at, I think they did focus on like the Mumbai area, but they were saying that, you know, there's an economic driver behind it. So an average scammer could earn years worth of pay in a day or two. So you've got those like local economics going on as well. But it sounds like in most cases they hire those that are fresh out of college who just want to earn a quick buck. And I don't know if that's yeah. what you kind of encounter when you're doing some of these scam baiting sessions.
I think so.
Yeah.
I do run into a lot of younger individuals, and people ask a lot, well, Kit, you've been doing this for 6 years. You stream this live. How do they not know who you are? How can you still do this? In some ways, some of them do know who I am, but I think there's a lot of turnover as well, where you've got young kids coming out of college or trying to make a quick buck. So they do this scam thing for a while, and then either it doesn't work out or they made their money or they get in trouble or whatever it is. Any number of reasons they get out of that, and it's just the next kid rolls into the call center. So
they're going to have to start putting you in their like training book to say, hey, watch out for this guy.
Yeah.
You're just going to end up.
We joke sometimes because when scammers that are a little more experienced sense that something might not be going their way, lately they will just say a name of a scam bait, like a more probably heard of Jim Browning, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, although we have completely different accents, and they'll be like, oh, I know you. You're Jim Browning. And you're like, you have no idea who you're like. You're just. Right. And so we joke about, are we like this mythical, like, oh, the scam baiter or like the boogeyman, the chupacabra. I don't know. Like they, this great. Mythical beast that preys on call centers.
So what are probably some of the most common forms of tech support scam that you see? Is it like getting a text to call someone or a pop-up window saying your data is going to be deleted or a Google ad? Like what do you see as sort of...
You just named them.
Oh, right. Awesome. No, we're done.
Yeah, I think that those are all very common. The Google ads actually have been popping up again. They went away for a while, at least in my experience, but something I've been noticing is, and I've tried reporting this to some places and it hasn't seemed to do much yet. So maybe someone will hear this who has connections, but they will advertise using something like a Facebook group, and they will make a Facebook group that's called Best Buy Tech Support phone number, you name it, Fidelity Support, some brand, and then tech support phone number. And now they can run ads on that page, but it shows up as like Facebook. And so they also do it for Facebook support, fake Facebook support. On Google, the first result says facebook.com, and like that's a trusted, well-respected website. So Google doesn't even think to check in and see what Facebook is doing. It's actually linking to a fake page that's not really, anyway. So that's been popping up again. But you asked me the most common, which by far the most submitted, because a lot of my calls are the community submits scams that they got or suspected scam. By far the most common one is the refund scam where, oh, you got charged a bunch of money and we got to give you your money back. And then probably the next popular one that gets submitted is the virus pop-ups, or a new one, or at least new-ish, is you can get 50% off your Xfinity bill. And that's like the newest one that I know of.
I believe I saw you doing that one, and they were basically saying if you go and prepay for like so much, you can get the discount, but you have to.
Yes.
Yeah. So when you're getting these refund scams and stuff like that, so what they're doing is they're trying to take over your computer, right? It's not just like, oh, we're going to mail you something. It's to take over your computer.
Yeah. Almost every scam, tech support scam, they're just coming up with some way to get access to your computer, I would say, or your phone. Some of them try to get on your phone now. But in this instance, in the refund scam, it's, oh, well, they owe me $400. Like I somehow paid for Norton and I didn't mean to. So I want my money back. Right. Like that's a very common, of course you would want $500 back. Who wouldn't? And then they say, well, let me connect to your computer so we can remove Norton, even though it's not probably on there.
Right.
And we'll just make sure that we get our software off there. And then they'll say our secure cloud server will refund your money back or something like that.
The ones that I really laugh at are the gift card ones. How do those work when you're going to Target or Walmart to buy gift cards?
Yeah, I'm curious about that because they tell you to go buy them. Because I saw the one where you went and like you went and bought it and then you were buying stuff online and they were getting super pissed at you. And so
you start redeeming them.
Yeah. How does that work? Like if you're buying a gift card, is it just to give them the gift card number? Is that essentially?
Yes.
Okay.
So they resell it at a reduced rate and get some benefit from that. So it would be like aftermarket kind of, if they get $1,000 worth of Google Play cards, maybe they sell it to some other person for $700 and then that person sells it to someone. And I don't know exactly, because I've seen websites where you can just buy gift cards.
Secondhand gift cards. Doesn't sound sketchy at all.
But I think, and there's other complicated ways that they can get money off of the cards too, with things like actually purchasing items. And people have talked about, like, why do I randomly receive a bunch of things at my house? Like there's like this huge delivery at my house. Or a lot of it is vacant homes or things that just were sold and it's on the market as the contract. It was just sold, but no one's living there, and they'll make some purchase and they'll deliver stuff there and someone goes and picks it up. And like the actual mercy. So there's all kinds of ways that but I've noticed over the years, like particularly now, that gift cards maybe aren't as, that's not always their go-to thing anymore. And I don't know about you guys, but I can't go because I've looked. I don't have a local store here where I can buy a $500 gift card anymore. Like, right, it's not
limits. Yeah.
Maybe you still can, but when you're at the checkout line at Target or something now, maybe you could with a Target card, but
yeah, I had one.
You don't see like a $500 Google Play card.
Right. It's like anymore. Usually capped at like 100 or something. Yeah. I was telling Rich back in December, I have such trust issues with buying things online now because I was scammed in December. And I'm like, God, I work in this industry and I let it happen. So it was like, oh, just go to your bank. You get the cash because they couldn't meet up with me. We were in different cities. Yep. And they were like, yeah, just go to CVS. They have this program where you can give them money because I have an account with CVS and deposit the money to my CVS account. And I was like, oh, okay. God, I should have. There were so many red flags. Like my Venmo wasn't going through. My Cash App wasn't going through. But I was desperate for these tickets. Entertaining my kids, God, it's expensive. Yeah, so yeah, I went and did the deposit. And then the person just stopped talking to me. And I was like, ghosted. Sitting in the parking lot, just like panicking, like, oh my gosh, this just happened. And I went back into CVS and they're like, well, if it had been 15 minutes, we could like reverse it for you. But it had been like 25, 30 minutes. And I was like, oh my gosh. So yeah, it's like not even a gift card is needed. They're like, oh yeah, just go deposit it at CVS. I have an account and they sent me a barcode and everything. And I was like, God, it looked legit. So they have an account, but stopped talking to me after that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think we're all victims at some point.
First of all, I'm sorry that happened. No one deserves this stuff. It sucks.
We're all due at some point, I guess.
But I think there's this common misconception. Like sometimes people come in on YouTube comments or the stream and they'll be like, if someone fell for that, they deserve it or they're stupid or whatever. And I don't think that's the case.
Right.
I'll tell you guys a story if you want. I basically fell for a phishing scam a couple months ago. I didn't lose anything. It's a complicated story, but I straight up fell for it. I had no idea that I was being phished. Actually, the only reason that I didn't is because the way that I handle my privacy and because I use my pseudo. So it might be a really good tie-in.
Oh, awesome. But let's hear it.
So many people who are smart, like my grandma wasn't dumb. She was a smart person. Just right. As you get older, things change, or you have to trust people, or you were excited about entertaining your kids, which is a good thing,
right?
And it's like right place, right time for these scammers, or they catch you off guard. Or I've heard so many stories of someone's busy at work or rushing home, or they're sick or whatever it is, and they play off of your emotions. And anyway, it's a manipulative thing. I just have to get it out there because I hate, no one deserves this stuff.
Yeah,
you're not dumb.
They do find that way to connect with you. Like the person I was talking to was another mom selling her tickets. They couldn't make it. And it was just like, she's like, oh, I'm at work. I will step out of a meeting. Just give me a call as soon as it transfer. You know, like, so it felt very personal. I was like, great. Just another mom helping another mom. I got them off of our local classified, felt so solid. And that's why I was just like, I felt so betrayed when it happened. Cause I was like, this is mom to mom. You're not supposed to be able to do that. But I was like, gosh, probably not even a female for all I know.
Probably not a mom.
No, not at all. But they do. They play to those like emotions or, you know, like just make you feel comfortable and just takes one moment to slip up. But
yeah,
totally.
I've seen a couple emails at work where it's amazing how they know who's in your circle, like your reporting structure and who you work with. And the email come from a supervisor basically saying, hey, I really need you, Rich. I need you to go to Target to buy a gift card for me or whatever, because we're going to be doing something. It looks so convincing because it looks like the email's coming from that person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had one submitted a couple of weeks ago an administrator at a school, like a public school, that said, hey, this specific teacher who I think was actually retiring. It must have found it on Facebook or the local news or whatever. She's auctioning off some things as she's moving, and it was sent out to all the students and all the teachers. And it said something along the lines of, if you want to bid on any of these items, like text her personal phone number, which was obviously a scammer's phone number. And so I texted them and they're like, oh yeah, we have all these items. And I said, I'd love a guitar, because a guitar was one of the items, like a very expensive guitar. And they said, you know what? They said, we'll give it to you. She'll give it to you for free because blah, blah, but it's a $200 shipping charge. They're just playing on the yeah. Well, man, a free guitar sounds cool. And right. It's my teacher. So,
Kit, we need you to play a little jingle before we go.
I know. Uh-oh. If you're hearing about this guitar, I'm going to have to hear something.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take a quick break for this message from our sponsor.
Are you tired of big tech spying on you? MySudo is the world's only all-in-one app that gives you back control of your privacy. By creating digital profiles, or pseudos, you can compartmentalize your online activities by setting up a unique phone number, email address, and handle for things like shopping, accessing free content, and using dating apps. This breaks the data trail linking back to your personal info, thus reducing your digital exhaust. Each pseudo also includes a private web browser with add-in tracker blocker. Want to stop companies from sharing data related to your transactions and spending habits? Set up a MySudo virtual card and bring peace of mind that your transactions are secure and private. To learn more, visit MySudo.com. That's MySudo.com. Stay private.
What about the non-technical support scams? Because I before we start recording, I mentioned that a few years ago, I had somebody call me presenting themselves as being an IRS agent from the Austin, Texas office, saying that my Social Security number had been suspended or something like that, and that they were going to issue a warrant for my arrest if I didn't do exactly what they say. But it sounds like your most recent video was about extended warranties and that kind of fraud. So are you seeing more these branching out from the technical support scams?
A very good question, because I have recently been saying I really want to expand and cover more scams. I started off doing the tech support stuff probably because that was that initial spark of inspiration, and I have a software background, and I knew, oh, I can have a virtual machine and code a fake bank. And like, I that was fun for me too, right? Like I could trick them into doing stupid things on the computer, but I'm realizing there are scams everywhere. Honestly, your story about the mom selling tickets is one that I'm not really that familiar with, but I bet that is a thing. Yeah. And I bet we could go on Facebook and find that. Or I don't know if it was Facebook, but I bet we could find that today.
Yeah. People and selling tickets that. Everywhere for every event. Yeah.
So it's a very good question. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, one of the most popular scams, or in terms of loss, right now, the investment scams, like the fake Bitcoin investment, or you might have heard of sometimes it's called pig butchering. It's kind of a gross term, but
pig butchering.
Maybe, yeah. So that one's sort of related to, wrapped into romance scams as well. If you've researched any of that, that's another like really, really growing and big.
Rich, didn't you have, you were out in Florida and you had tons of those wanting free dinners and I've got all gym memberships.
Of, I could go a whole hour talking about dating app phishing scams.
Oh, no. Well, maybe we should at some point, because I'm trying to get into how can I make some videos about this? Because the pig butchering type concept, it is like a kind of a gross term, but the idea is maybe they find you on a dating app, or one way or another, you kind of trust this person and they say, I know a lot about investing and I got this great Bitcoin platform or Forex or some kind of trendy thing. I'll get you on this new Ethereum. My manager helps me make these really good returns. And you say, I'll try it out. I'll put $500 in this website. And it's fake, but it looks legit.
Yeah.
And a week later, the graphs are all green and your $500 is $3,000. And you're thinking, this is amazing. I'm going to put $2,000 in now. And then all of a sudden that $2,000 is $12,000. But they're manipulative. That money is gone. Like you have made no money, but the platforms look really, really good. And you trust this person, or they're your friend, or you think maybe you're dating them or something. And anyway, the idea is like, well, they're fattening you up and you just keep putting more and more money into it. And then I had someone email me literally before this interview. They just emailed me again, someone in the community who fell for this exact scam. And they said, I was making really good returns. I reached out to them because I want to withdraw my money. And now all kinds of problems start happening. So their excuse was, well, there's a bunch of laws. If you want to withdraw that much money, we need your passport and like all of this personal information. And also you have to deposit 30% of your profits so we can back it by some kind of, like, they made a really elaborate excuse, but wait, I have to put 30% of my money in to get my money out and all these. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the last week, my cousin's Instagram started kind of looking funny because he's been hacked. We just realized it. But somebody started posting that thing saying, oh, look at this new, I think it was Ethereum or, you know, like it was something like that saying, look at how much money I've made. I have somebody that can help get you set up. Let me let you talk to him. And even his next post was like, check out my new Beamer I got. He can help you. Oh, let me get you in touch with my manager, you know, like blah, blah, blah. And we were all excited. We're like, dude, I think your Instagram was hacked, but this is like the beginning of it. Like somebody hacked in, took his account. He's trying to get people to trust him. And then they get wrapped into this bogus Bitcoin, whatever is happening on the back end.
Well, yeah, but, kid. I mean,
that's exactly right. Yep. I would love actually if it's recent.
It's like as of yesterday, we were like, hey, dude, this doesn't look like yours.
Yeah, send me that because, and I hope I did answer your question in terms of, it was like, what kinds of scams, is it just tech support scams or things changing? I mean, in some ways, my answer in short is, well, it is changing, but also I've focused so much on the tech support stuff that there are so many other scams out there.
It's funny you're mentioning that too, Sarah, because we had an employee here a couple of weeks ago that one of their relatives, I think it was a cousin, the sextortion thing is like this new thing where they're taking your images off social media and it's kind of like a deep fake, I guess. They're putting your face on someone's basically nude body and then they try to get money out of you or they're going to share it to the world. And I'm like, wow.
It's brutal. That actually is another one of the most, I get that sent in to me. That might be the second most popular scam there's kind of two things that happen with my community sends in things that they know are scams. And says, hey, you might want to call them on the stream, right? Or you might want to make a video because this is a refund scammer. And then there's another set of people emailing me saying, is this a scam or can you help me? And the most, by far the most common, can you help me or is this a scam? Is this extortion romance kind of? So there's another variation of that, which is you match with somebody on a dating app or whatever, and things get a little hot. Things get a little, I don't know the right way to say it.
A little spicy.
And you start exchanging some, a little spicy, and you're exchanging some pictures, and they want to see your private bits. And then once you send them those photos, like sometimes the next second, they're saying, okay, if you don't pay me a bunch of money, I'm going to post this all over your social media.
Oh.
Or one catch is some dude will come on, because sometimes they'll try to video chat you or they'll play like recorded videos. So you think you're chatting with this person, but you're all of a sudden this random guy hops on and says like, that's my daughter. They're 15 years old. You scumbag. I'm going to report you to the FBI if you don't give me $5,000. But it's all fake.
Right.
But you don't know.
Yeah.
You just, now you're thinking like, oh my God, who did I send these pictures to? Is this person 15 years old? Whatever. Yeah, that's a nasty big scam right now, for sure.
Before Sarah gets into, I guess, some of the targets of the scam, you're talking about the dating apps. I know for sure. I don't know if you can make good video out of it, but most of the scams are on Tinder. And the common theme is, and I won't get into profiling what countries they're coming from, but the scam is pretty obvious from the very beginning. And they try to quickly get you off of the dating app communications platform. Yep. And they usually want you to go to WhatsApp. And then the conversation will switch to crypto, like you said, or Forex.
It's so romantic. Yes.
And then before you know it, like, and they're not really very engaging. Like they're not really answering your questions. You can kind of tell something's up, but it's so much of it that happens on these apps. And I wish there was a way to get back at them because the platforms don't seem to really do much. Just they kick them off and then they just come back.
Mm-hmm. I do have a little thing that I've been working on, which is we built a fake, almost like their own tactics, because they have these fake investment websites. I built a fake website so that I can say to these scammers, oh, I bought Bitcoin at this ATM and I'm trying to upload it into your platform. Can you help me? But on the receipt picture, it's got my website and my 1-800 number. And when they go there, it's like a torture chamber. I know, it's like a maze of there's always a problem. And we had a guy who spent one day, like literally over 24 hours on hold because he thought that he was going to get this Bitcoin. And I'm really excited about the potential to it, because there's all these scammers, like you said, Rich, where, well, maybe if I'm matching with them left and right, I'm like, oh, actually, I'd love to invest. Here's this. And I might be able to get. So I think right now I have, let's see, 4 people on hold right now. Just waiting for customer service to help them.
Oh, this is active.
I'm not talking to them. I'm not doing anything. They're just.
Oh my god!
If you start baiting the dating scammers, I'm all in then.
Oh my gosh! It's like another reason I could never date nowadays. I'm like, God, I don't trust anyone, and now everybody's just trying to scam me, and all I want is a date. It's just sad.
Have you noticed that one thing I have seen is there's common words and greetings that they'll use. They almost will always, in my experience, they'll say babe or baby a lot.
Oh.
They'll be like, hey, babe, or hey, baby.
Yeah.
And then they also almost always, in my experience, say, where are you located? Like, that's like the first thing they say to you. They're like, hey, babe, where are you located?
Okay.
No one's ever asked me that before, but
moving fast.
Or just after a few exchanges back and forth in the dating platform, they basically say, oh, I'm now in love with you and I want to live with you for the rest of my life.
It's moving so fast.
It's like, wow, this was amazing. How did that happen? I've never even seen you. but the minute you ask them to get on a video call, that's when you find out pretty quickly, because they're like, no, I can't do it right now. Yeah,
I just had Manti Te'o flashbacks to that documentary. Yeah. I just feel it's like a nightmare of dating.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. If you can find the formula for that one, I'll get you a whole bunch more subscribers.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the tricky part so far has been 2 things. One, it's not always as easy to do live. The way I've done this has been, I have a live stream, and then when funny things happen, I make YouTube videos out of it. If part of the dating thing is, you got to text a little bit back and forth. And if they don't want to jump on a phone call and do something silly, like, who's going to watch me just sit there texting for 4 hours?
Right.
So I
have to hook up like your phone to it to like sit there and scroll through the conversation, I guess. But
so that's the other problem, Sarah, is that's a great idea. But what if they send me their naked body on screen?
Maybe not live then.
Anyway,
it sounds like the rich, they're really quick to jump into the crypto stuff. So it's it goes
straight to Bitcoin.
So romantic. I love it. That's ridiculous. Oh. All right. So I guess we touched on this a little bit, was targeting the older generation a little bit. So it is said that scammers are targeting older people, you say over 55. They're gullible. They're lonely. They may be living alone. They don't have kids at home, anybody to help consult them. And we watched, you mentioned Jim Browning, and he's one of those scam baiters just like yourself. And so he's mentioned where he saved people millions of dollars. He was in this one documentary talking about how he's sort of gaining access to scammers' computers. He's seeing what they're up to, and he's accessing even their webcams and sometimes their CCTV cameras. And so he's on the phone trying to alert authorities or calling the people and say, hang up, don't do this. And so maybe without giving away maybe any secrets to tip off scammers, how would a scam baiter, do they get in touch with scammers in the call center? Is it just calling them back or waiting for them to call you? How are you going about it?
You mean in terms of gaining access to their computers or even just talking to them in general?
So I guess whatever you're allowed and comfortable talking about, if you're getting access to them or if you're just calling them, how are you going about like connecting
with
them?
So I don't gain access or anything like that. I've tried to treat that as like I can pass that on. And if there's certain people who that's legal for them, that's not even
you
my area of expertise.
Yeah.
Some of it's boundaries and some of it's just like the one honest answer too. When I first started was like, I got kids. I'd almost prefer some of these scammers to just think I'm a jokester who doesn't care about, they don't know maybe that I'm reporting all of their stuff. So that the beginning, that was part of it. But at this point, it's sort of we'd be crossing some legal lines in terms of how do I talk to them, though, or how do I get a big portion of it is the community sending me emails and voicemails. But I also am on lots of lists now, I think, too, because the scammers sell
this guy's a good one
information to other scammers. Yeah. So I will get calls and they'll say, one of my recurring character names has been Allison Vonderlund. but it sounds like Alice in Wonderland. And so I will get random calls like, hello, this is Microsoft. Is Alice in Wonderland available? And that's my old lady. I think it's very common for them to sell that information too. But you mentioned like older targets, let's say. And I have found for sure, if I sound older,
right,
that they will put up with a lot more.
Right.
I've had them go for days or
I did notice that your older voices and stuff, they are a lot more patient. And you had one where you sounded like a female that was, she was some influencer or whatever. And they were like cussing at you and they were just not having it. So yeah, they're taking that into account.
Yes. But one thing I wonder, because I see there's statistics as well that say, oh, over 55 or certain retirees are more likely to get scammed or to lose certain amounts of money. And one thought I have is, well, you can see all these statistics about the elderly getting scammed and then how the younger generations aren't getting scammed or something. And then I say, well, what if it's just the younger generations end up reporting it? There was some data published recently, and maybe I can pull it up for you, that some of the younger generations were getting scammed just as much, if not more, than the elderly.
And right, because they have so much access to tech now. You know, we're sort of like this middle ground where we're like, we see you being scammed. We see you being scammed. We're trying to hold out here. And there, you've got to educate teenagers and younger. They're on there a lot. So you got to be like, hey, like, watch out for these scams. Be aware of it. You're on your phone all the time. Be aware of this.
The thought process of that data to me was, well, what if part of the reason those statistics, if that's true, could also be that the younger generation is reporting it as a scam. So they realized they got scammed and reported it. Whereas someone who's, if my grandma was still around, has no clue that she was being scammed and she didn't report it. So we don't have the statistics. And I hope it doesn't sound like I'm like, oh, the younger generation, no one should be scammed. I think it all is terrible.
Right.
I'm in no way suggesting anything like that. But I think the other reason scammers probably go after some of the older generations is financially, it's probably more likely that someone who sounds older has some money saved up for whether it's retirement or whatever it is versus some young college kid. Like I've done some videos where I let them connect to my bank and I have $4 in it.
Sounds pretty accurate.
I had one where I had like negative $80,000 of student loan debt, and like
they're just feeling bad for you at this point. Like,
one guy offered me a job and he's like, do you want to? So I think that could be the other element as well. I would put up with and talk to this old guy because
he's got money in there.
Maybe he has more money.
Absolutely.
But some of these videos you do, you post on MoreKitBoga, and some of them go for hours and hours. How do you have the stamina to hang in there for that long?
Well, it's the viewers that inspire me. I've seen you
eating during some, you know, you'll block yourself out because you're like, I'm eating. I'm like, well, the guy's got to eat at some point and he's probably got to, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Yeah.
Please hold.
I mean, some of those are compiled across multiple days. Like there's one guy, it's not even on YouTube yet just because it's been so long and it's so recent, but we spent well over a year talking to him, like at different times, something like 54 hours worth of calls that I've had. But it was over the course of a year. So every couple days I would have another phone call with him. Some of it's just fun for me. So when you say the stamina, it's easy to get. My parents always said, time flies when you're having fun. And so I think it's that kind of, I'm invested,
you're in it, you're playing it. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, sometimes I forget that I have these moments where I go, I'm just goofing around. And then I'm like, wait, this is real life for this scammer. He thinks that like I actually am 80 years old and he's this ruthless the scumbag who wants to take all of my money. And I'm just laughing because I'm thinking, you have no idea. But
yeah.
I think just for the sake of time, Sarah, and I don't want to take too much more kids' time. Why don't we jump to the kind of the recommendations and tips, and maybe Kit can kind of chime in too, because I think ultimately what we want to do to wrap this up is give people some tools that they can use, because they're getting really sophisticated, some of these phishing scams, whether it's on the phone or on text messaging or whatever. And I think it's like you said, even if you can fall for something, I mean, that's anybody can.
Yeah, let me tell you about that. And I'm happy to try to give some advice. I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand. So I have learned over time to take privacy more seriously. And I've made some habits where I'm not going to, I segment everything. You guys know I've used my pseudo for a very long time, for I think like 4 years now.
Oh, awesome.
And so I have a pseudo for work stuff, like business things. And to me, it's so much segmented that this computer that I'm on now, having this Kit Boga interview, I have never, ever done anything personal on this computer. There, I have never accessed a bank account. I don't do anything related to my personal family life on this computer ever. And on my phone, I don't have any business. There is no Kit Boga things on my personal phone, except for there is a pseudo number. So I have a separate phone. It's like a really old iPhone, but that has some Kit Boga stuff on it. So that said, I had gotten a message one day on Discord. If you're not familiar with Discord, it's a pretty popular messaging tool. Kind of started off for games and gamers, but honestly, I think all kinds of people use it now.
Oh, yeah.
But I got a message from someone and they said, Kit, you know, I've been a fan of you for a long time, but I noticed some people on this Discord were saying that you were messaging some people and trying to get them to like video chat you and send them some personal private pictures. And honestly, I'm just disgusted. I never thought you would do something like that. And I need to cut ties with you. Now, I know this isn't true, right? I wouldn't do that, but I scam scammers. So I'm immediately like, I want to know about this scam, right? Like I told you in the beginning, I click all the spooky links. This is what I do, right? But I'm not thinking that this is a phishing scam. I'm just thinking, oh, someone's probably trying to pretend that they're me. I have people do that sometimes where they make like a Kit Boga spelled weird account. Anyway, so I click this Discord link to join a server, which is no big deal. And then I get a message that says I have to verify like that I'm not a bot, which is also not really that big of a deal. This happens sometimes on Discord. And there's a QR code that pops up, which honestly, that's not that big of a deal. This has happened to me before. So I pull up my phone, I scan the QR code, and it doesn't work. And I'm like, oh, that's strange. And it turns out, I have like a virtual phone, not even an actual cell phone, but like a virtual environment. And I scan it on there and it pulls up the Discord app. I just so happened to have a fake Discord account on there to talk to scammers. And then I lost that account in like moments, because what I did was when I scanned that QR code, I gave full access to my account to some, I don't even want to call them a hacker. It's kind of like just a little script, you know, that they run. I sat there and I'm like, oh my God, if I would have had Kit Boga on my phone, right? Yeah. I segment everything. If I wouldn't have had that habit, I would have lost the Kit Boga Discord account in seconds. And I had no clue. I wasn't even thinking it was a
QR code thing. Scams are popping up a lot more because they've been used, especially over the last few years. QR codes have become so common that they're taking advantage of that. The people have shown where they're like, you got to be careful, because it's like they've peeled off a sticker and it's somebody had placed a different QR code on something. And those are popping up.
Let's take a quick break for this message from our sponsor. The global average cost of a data breach is nearly $4.5 million, but that's viewing it from a liability perspective. Today, privacy is a value proposition for software providers. When you develop a reputation for protecting customers' personal information, you don't just acquire new customers, you make them loyal. And Sudo Platform is the world's premier cloud platform for providing developers with a menu of enterprise-ready SDKs and APIs that make integrating privacy solutions into your software so easy. Built for developers by developers, from identity wallets and password managers to virtual cards and secure encrypted communications, Sudo Platform has you covered. Go to market quickly with a privacy platform that is scalable, flexible, and secure. To learn more, visit sudoplatform.com. That's sudoplatform.com.
I found this article that's got consumer tips to stop unwanted robocalls and to avoid phone scams. So I'll read these off. And then if you've got any at the end, definitely feel free to share. So this one comes from the FCC, Federal Communications Commission. So it says, number one, this is like blanket. Don't answer calls from unknown numbers. If you answer such a call, hang up immediately. So it's like basic that's 101.
Fair. Good start.
Fair enough. Next one. You may not be able to tell right away if an incoming call is spoofed. So be aware, caller ID showing a local number does not necessarily mean it is a local caller. I see that one almost weekly. I just let him get a voicemail. If you answer the phone and the caller or recording asks you to hit a button to stop getting the calls, you should just hang up. Scammers often use this trick to identify potential targets. The next one says, do not respond to any questions, especially those that can be answered with yes. I guess you're basically giving consent if you say that.
Yep.
Number five was never give out personal information such as account number, social security numbers, mother's maiden names, passwords, or any other identifying information in response to unexpected calls or if you are at all suspicious. Use that intuition. It will come in handy. Number six, if you get an inquiry from someone who says they represent a company or a government agency, hang up and call the phone number on your account statement, in the phone book, or on the company or government's website to verify the authenticity of the request. Because for that reason, it says you'll usually just get a written statement in the mail before you get a phone call if it's legit.
Yeah.
Number seven, use caution if you are being pressured for information immediately. We always talk about that urgency that they use.
Yeah. 100% on the urgency.
Yes.
I think just about every scam, except maybe the romance thing, is all urgency. Whether you're going to lose all your money or go to prison or you're going to win $1 million, it has to happen right now.
Right now. Right now. We need it now. All right. So I got four more. So number eight, if you have a voicemail account with your phone service, be sure to set a password for it. Some voicemail services are preset to allow access if you call in from your own phone number. A hacker could spoof your home phone number and gain access to your voicemail if you do not set a password. Number nine. Huh. Yeah, I know. I'm like, voicemail is a way in. I didn't know that.
Now that you say it, I did know that to be true, but I have never thought about doing something like, again, I'm not worried about it because I use your stuff. Oh, I never even thought about that.
Okay. So number nine, talk to your phone company about call blocking tools they may have and check into apps that you can download to your mobile device to block unwanted calls. MySudo has some great options for silencing unwanted callers. Number 10, if you use robocall blocking technology already, it often helps to let that company know which numbers are producing unwanted calls so they can help block those calls for you and others. And the last one is to block telemarketing calls. Register your number on the do not call list. It's a .gov website. Yeah. Legitimate telemarketers consult the list to avoid calling both landline and wireless phone numbers on that list. So anything else you would add to this list?
That is a pretty good list. I feel like
it's pretty extensive.
Like I said, I didn't even think about the voicemail thing.
That's crazy. What about just in general? Like, are you a big fan of smart devices? That's kind of a beach. That's a beachfront where you can kind of get into the security system of homes.
You mean
too.
Smart devices like
Alexa or Echo?
Just anything that's connected.
Not really. Honestly, I am pretty segmented and pretty. Yeah. Like, I have an iPhone. I think it's like an iPhone 7. I don't buy all the newest stuff. And when I'm not quick to, I forgot, my mom got like was it a Roomba or whatever cleaning vacuums are. She's like, oh, you gotta get one of these. Like, I don't know, because it's just another thing that's probably tracking me somewhere.
Taking pictures of the inside of your house.
Yeah, we did a two-part smart devices episode and talked about those. I have an older model, thankfully, because I was like, I gotta go home and check this thing. Yeah. But yeah, the other ones are like walking around tracking the map of your home. It's taking pictures of people in the bathroom. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like even your robot's not safe. Roomba.
I think to go back to the list of like common or like good advice, maybe one thing I would add is specifically with the tech support stuff that I deal a lot with, they almost always will want to gain access to a device in some way. And there is really no reason that you should ever let someone gain access to your device. I suppose if you actually do have a problem with your printer, one way to look at it is tech support should be initiated by you, not the other way around. So if someone's calling you trying to get under your computer, like that is not ever going to happen. The way I like to explain it kind of going back to the IRS scams you brought up.
Yeah.
I once had to reach out to the IRS, and I think I spent like an hour on hold. Every 2 minutes, it said, there are so many answers to common questions on IRS.gov. Like, solve your own problem. Right.
They don't want to talk to you.
And like, if you can kind of get that in your head of most companies, like, they're not going to call you out of their own goodwill to waste their time.
So anyway, if you're getting really good support and it's fast, it's probably a scam is what we're saying.
Yeah. But definitely, to boil it down, one other big piece of advice, maybe number 12, is tech support should be initiated by you, not the other way around. If someone's trying to get on one of your devices and you don't know who they are, I mean, even if you do know, with deep fakes and everything else going on, like, I really wouldn't want someone getting on any of my devices.
So. Yeah, I feel like that should be the red flag. If somebody says, I need to get access, be like, just hang up and be like, I'm going to take this to that, what if the Genius Bar or something, I'll go take this into Apple.
I'm glad you said that too, because that's my other piece of advice I say quite a bit to people is, if you can, it's hard because it's almost this habit, like, you have to learn over time, is that it's okay to hang up and it's okay to call back. Because like with spoofing, I tell people, well, maybe it is your credit card company who's trying to get, but if it really is, you can just say, what's your rep number or what's my case number, and hang up, get your credit card and call back the number on the credit card. And they're not going to be mad. Like, it's fine. Right. If it's a legit company, they're not going to. So that's another thing.
I get attack vectors like every day on my phone.
Oh yeah, I get texts all the time. It'll be Amazon or UPS. I'm like, I didn't order anything. Yeah.
So Kit, I got like one final question for you. So let's just imagine a hypothetical scenario. You wake up tomorrow and it's utopia and all the scammers are gone. So what's the plan? Do you go back to software development? Do you retire?
Good question. There have been days where I've thought about that. And I want that to be the case. I want there to not be scams. I think the most honest answer right now is I would probably farm, which is very weird.
Get some land.
I have a couple acres and we've got chickens and we got the farm, and like, I just love it.
Live the homestead life.
It's so different than my current. I don't know. Most days I get in at like 6 and spend 12 hours like talking to scammers and solving, coming up. We're doing a lot of AI stuff now, which is fascinating and I enjoy it. But, and then I just go and throw some food down for the chicken.
Go like, talk to a chicken for another hour.
I probably would like,
it's
farm,
a good balance.
Like, hang out with my kids and farm. And then, I don't know, I would welcome the robot overlords that probably made the utopia. and that would be that.
That's a good balance. It's just like, you just want to disconnect at the end of a day of dealing with people like that.
Probably.
Totally get it.
Well, Kit, what about how the different ways people can reach you? Because I think you mentioned one of the avenues is just getting people to submit their hot tips for who's the next scammer you want to bait. How do they go about doing that?
I'm about to send you one. So what can I do?
Yeah, no, please do. So I probably should have like a URL for it, because on my Twitch channel, there's a way to go submit things, but it's like a really long URL. So probably if you want hello@hitbogusshow.com is
perfect.
One way or another, someone will look at that. But that's a good way.
And you've got the main YouTube channel. You've got more Kit Boga. You're on Instagram, TikTok.
Yeah, we're all over the place. I personally, people message me on Instagram and stuff. I don't use Instagram. I don't have Instagram. It's not on my phone. But as the business, as the trying to reach people to tell them about scams, we do have a Kit Boga Instagram account, but it's managed by like some people that work with me. Sometimes I make videos for Instagram, but I myself am not reading Instagram. Sometimes different companies that we've worked with reach out on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, and like, I don't read it. I don't know they were trying to contact me.
Kit, how's it going?
Yeah.
It's
not me.
Anyway.
Well, cool. Kit, this has been way too much fun. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is awesome.
I love talking about this stuff. So if there's ever something else I can do or help with, let me know.
Yeah, please. If you can find a way to do the dating scam one, gosh,
Rich's
I would love
game.
I've had it with them. It's mostly, like I said, it's on Tinder, but it's on Bumble and Match and all the others too. And boy, it's just so annoying. And you can report them, and then all of a sudden they just pop up somewhere else with a new profile, right? There's no vetting them out.
Right.
Yeah. But that would be great. Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, I'm all in on that one. Catfishers, beware. Kids on the prowl.
Kids coming for you.
We're coming.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thanks so much for your time, Kit.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode. In our next episode, we'll be picking back up our multi-part series on the dark web by talking to someone in the private sector who conducts cybersecurity threat analyses and investigates the dark web. From evolving encryption technologies and corporate espionage to psychological impacts of dark web crimes and the trade-offs between anonymity and accountability, we will be covering a lot. Until next time, don't forget, privacy is a human right.